Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 31. We'll back up, read verses 28 through 31, but our focus is on verse 31. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be back again here tonight among your people to worship and glory in you. Tonight, I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand. God, you would grant application of your word. Give us the what we need to do that we may live our lives to your glory and to your honor, and that the authority of your word will find a place of reality in our lives. Lead us and guide us and direct us as we read your word, bless the preaching, honor the reading, and do it all for your glory. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 28 of Isaiah chapter number 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. In this series that we have entitled Godly Comfort in Worldly Chaos, we have looked at who the Lord is that we are told to wait upon. And what we learned is that He is a ceaseless God. He is the Creator God. He is a conquering God. And He is a commanding God. And we are told to wait on Him because He is able to handle whatever comes our way. We are weak and we are feeble, but He is strong and He is able. So Isaiah says, wait on Him. And then we looked at what it means to wait. Waiting on the Lord is not a time frame of inactivity. Waiting on the Lord is maintaining our obedience to His word, maintaining our faith in Him and our communion with Him. So it certainly is a time of activity as we wait upon the Lord. In other words, we don't quit being faithful children of God while we wait on the Lord. We keep on being who He is continually making us to be. And to wait on the Lord actually is to hope in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Last week we looked at what it means to renew our strength by waiting on the Lord as God takes us through the process of enabling us to see our inabilities and to admit our weaknesses and our frailty. We are fitted for this promise that God will renew our strength. In other words, He will substitute His strength for our weakness. And that's exactly what we need. We need God to substitute, to switch, to exchange our weakness for His strength. There is the promise that He will substitute His strength, His power, for our faint feigning, and he will increase, or he will strengthen and exchange his strength to those who have no might. It is amazing, isn't it, that God would give us strength and renew our strength. Tonight, I want us to look at three illustrations that Isaiah gives us that gives us an idea what it means for God to renew our strength as we wait on Him. And the three illustrations, or the three metaphors, are: we will mount up with wings as eagles, we will run and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. Now, notice it does not say that those who wait upon the Lord shall have all their problems fixed. It doesn't say that all of those who wait upon the Lord shall have all their troubles taken away. It doesn't say that at all. It says that those who wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed, exchanged for the strength of God. What does that look like, or how could we describe that? That's what Isaiah is going to do. He gives us a principle, which is we are to wait on the Lord, and we will renew our strength, and then he gives us the illustrations of this principle. So let's go over those tonight, and I think it will be a help. Number one, to renew our strength as we wait on the Lord is to soar in the rigors of life, or soar in the difficulties of life. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That is the first illustration. To have our strength renewed is to mount up with wings as eagles. And the idea is there, the idea that we will go up, we will ascend, we will travel upward. We may be perplexed and we may be distressed. We may be mourning and crying. We may be without any strength to move any further. We may be bogged down with temptations and burdens and trials and difficulties. Yet, we wait on the Lord. Why? Because we have no other help. We have no other place to go. He is the only harbor that we can anchor in safely. He is our refuge, and we have no other to flee to. So notice the contrast. We may be perplexed and distressed and mourning and crying and overloaded with temptations and burdens and trials and difficulties, yet those who wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle, the strongest, the swiftest, and the highest soaring bird. That's how Isaiah illustrates how God will renew our strength. And what I think it says is that in times of hardships, in times of problems, in times of trouble, God enables His people to travel to heights they have never traveled before, spiritually speaking. So why does Isaiah use the illustration of an eagle? Well, in studying this and trying to figure that particular question out in the context of comfort and difficulties and troubles and trials, I learned that an eagle excels during a storm. In the Middle East, the eagle will see the hot air being heated by the desert floor, and there will be these thermal drafts that come early in the morning, and the eagle launches out and lifts those mighty wings of his and he begins to soar. And the faster the winds blow in the storm, the more convection there is in the air, he just continues to rise higher and higher with no effort. He's just soaring. The wind of the storm that is under him is doing all the work. He just soars on the wind. No effort, no energy, just soaring on the power of the wind that is beneath him. And what is a problem for those below the eagle is actually a blessing to him. The storm that is happening on the ground level is actually a blessing to him, enabling him to soar higher than he's ever soared. You with me? And the worse the storm gets, the more the wind blows, the higher the eagle is able to go. The worse the storm, let me put it this way. The worse the storm is, the higher the eagle goes, and the closer to God the eagle is. And he could not fly that high if it was not for the storm. On his own, he could not fly that high. It takes the lift of the wind underneath him to get him to fly that high. So what has ruined others, what has been a problem for others, what has been a difficulty for others has only brought the eagle higher and closer to God. And here's what I'm trying to say with that. There have been things in my life, and there have been things in your life that have happened to us, and those things acted just like the wind of a storm. They elevated us to a higher place, a closer and more intimate place with God. And I would have never been in those places with God if it hadn't been for the storm. I would have never been that intimate with God if it hadn't been for the problems that I was going through. I can point to one or two things in my life when I felt the closest to God, felt as if I was more in God's presence than any other time in my life, and I was going through a horrible time. And it was like the wind of that trouble, that stirring of that wind, just kept driving me higher and higher and closer proximity and relation with Him. You know, the problems of life can get you down, but if you hope in the Lord, the same problems can lift you up if you wait on the Lord. I'm reminded of that song, "This Is My Depravity." I'm reminded of that song about being lifted up where you belong, where the eagle cries on a mountain high. Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warren, I think. That's exactly. There are things that happen in our life that God takes us where we ought to be, in close connection with Him. There are times when we need that kind of lifting, and the storms of life have that potential to lift us up to a realm that we have never known. And of course, when that eagle is up that high, his entire perspective changes. And when we are lifted that high over the problems, over the troubles, over the difficulties, we see things from above it, not seeing things in it or under it. Have you had so many things burden you down that all you could see was the problems? What we need is God to lift us up and mount us on wings of eagles so we can soar over those and have a fresh look at things and see things the way God sees things. And it is faith that takes us above them. It is faith in our Lord that takes us higher. It is our hope in the Lord as He renews our strength, that He mounts us and takes us in a closer relationship with Him, and we see things from a godly, divine perspective and not a human one. And so, things are not so overwhelming when you're soaring over top of them. Sometimes, I think, we think God is being cruel and unkind when a different perspective actually reveals that God is doing the very best thing for us that He could do. And sometimes when we are in the storm, all we see is a storm. And sometimes we need God to cause us to rise higher so that we can see things from His vantage point. There are times when we are in the storms, we need to look up. But there are times when God renews our strength that we're able to look down, because He has enabled us to mount up and find our delight in Him and feel His love and feel His care and feel His concern in a way that we have not felt before. I have the places that I was in with God. That I felt so close to Him. I felt so in tune with Him. And you try to get back to that place because it was so good. You try to get back there, but you know you can't soar that high on your own. It takes God renewing your strength in times of trouble to bring you back to that height that you were with Him. But He's promised to do that. Amen? He has promised in the difficulties and the sinfulness of our life, if we will only wait on Him, He will mount us up with wings as eagles, and we will soar above the rigors of life. For a while, anyway. Amen? Number two. The second illustration is that of an athlete. And not only are we told here that we will soar in the rigors of life, but we will also run in the race of life. They shall run and not be weary. I don't know about you. I look toward the older people. My running days are over. Say amen. I used to be able to run, but my running days are over. If a booger gets after me, he's going to get me. Say amen. They shall run and not be weary. So this life that we live, it is full of so many things to do. There are deadlines that we have to meet. There are things that have to be done. And the common problem is we don't seem to have enough time to get it done. Except, God has promised us, His people, that if we will wait upon Him, He will enable us to run without getting weary. Now, what does that mean, to run and not become weary? I think it means two things given the Hebrew word that is translated here, run. The word means, firstly, that God will always enable His people to be able to run to Him for help. Say amen. Now, physically, I'm past my running days. But spiritually, God said that He will enable us, He will renew our strength so that we will be able to run to Him, not walk to Him, run to Him when we have need of Him. In fact, He says we will be able to run to Him to find help, and weariness will not apply when we are coming to the Lord to find help. So we can run to God, we can keep running to God, and will not grow weary if we're running to Him for help. And we should run to Him for help. Things can happen in an instant. Things in your life can change in a second. And you need to run to God. You need to get to God as quickly as you can. Say amen. Aren't you glad God said, wait on Him, He'll renew your strength, which means He'll enable you to run to Him. Time is not an issue. God will enable you to run, to have haste, to hurriedly get to Him for help. It means, secondly, are you ready for this? You will always be able to do what God has called you to do. You will always be able to do what God has called or commanded you to do. Now, this is the problem in our day and age. We simply, at times, don't have the time or the energy to worship God or to read our Bibles or to pray or go to church. That's not because of God. It's because the reason we're out of gas and can't do the things that God has commanded us to do is because we've run out the gas doing other things. Say amen. May I tell you that there is enough time in every single day to do everything God wants you to do? There may not be enough time in the day to do everything you want to do, but there is enough time for you to do everything that God wants you to do. And really, we should not insult God by saying we don't have enough time. We have time to do everything else we want to do. God said, if we wait on Him, if we hope in Him, He will enable us to run and not get weary in doing what He has called us to do, what He has commanded us to do. God will strengthen you to do it when you can't muster the strength to do it. Whatever God opens for you to do, whatever God calls for you to do, whatever God commands for you to do, He enables you to run and not get weary. And when you need the energy and the strength, God has promised that He will provide it. Say amen. Now, there are times when the recliner feels better than a church pew. Right? But God said, if you'll wait on Him, if you'll hope in Him, He will give you the strength. He will enable you to run and not get weary. When life squeezes you, God has promised to enable you to run to Him for help. And He has promised that He will energize you and help you to do whatever He has called you to do without growing weary. So, God didn't promise that He would enable me, strengthen me to do all the things that I want to do. But He did say that everything that He has called me to do, He will strengthen me to do. We have to prioritize things. And then number three, he says here, for God to renew the strength of those who wait and hope in Him, it will be like taking upon the wings of eagles and soaring over the rigors of life. It will be like being an athlete who is enabled by God to run this race of life, to do what God has called to do, to run to Him for help. You will have good legs to run. And thirdly, there is the walking in the routines of life. Wings for troubled times, energy to run during complicated times, but our problems, the most difficulty we face is what we face in the everyday routines of life. Now, it's one thing to soar like an eagle, it's one thing to run like an athlete. It's another thing just to stick and stay day by day in the regular humdrum of life. And the mode of transportation in this daily routine, the mode of transportation in this daily thing that we call daily life, the thing that God helps is walking, step by step. Why do I need God's help in the daily walking? I can walk fine, except that I can't. There are obstacles in life. There are rivers to cross. There are valleys. There are mountains. There are difficulties. There are losses to deal with. There are problems. There are disappointments. There are discouragements. There are heartaches. There are pain. There are troubles. And in all of those things, you know what we have to do? Keep walking. Keep walking. Do you ever want to quit? Do you ever want to sit down? Had enough? Those who wait on the Lord will have their strength renewed. God will enable them to walk when it's tough, walk when it's hard, walk when it's disappointing, walk when there are troubles. Day by day, you've got to walk. If you'll read the book of Ephesians mentions 7 times that the Christian life is like a walk. We are to walk day by day. And in our walk, we are to do everything to the glory of God. Everything. Step by step. Every step is for the glory of God. Every day is for the glory of God. And God has promised to help us walk without fainting, walk without quitting, walk without slowing down. Do you know what walking looks like on a day-to-day basis? Walking is getting breakfast for the kids in the morning to the glory of God. Walking is dressing the children to the glory of God. Walking is going to work to the glory of God. Walking is cleaning the house to the glory of God. Walking is carrying out the garbage to the glory of God. Walking is a daily Bible study to the glory of God. Walking is your quiet time done to the glory of God. Walking is your prayer time to the glory of God. Walking is checking on those who are sick to the glory of God. It is a day by day, every day, hot day, cold day, dull day, bright day, good day, bad day, walking the Christian life to the glory of God. And God enables us to walk. What is the song that Eddie sings? I can't even walk unless he holds my hand. We can't walk unless He renews our strength. He enables us to glorify Him in everything that we say and everything that we do with absolutely no fainting. So what does God do for us? Well, in times of adversity, oftentimes He'll let us soar like an eagle. Let us get above it all. Get closer to Him. See it from a different perspective. In times of opportunity, He enables us to run like an athlete, to do His will, to do what He has called us to do, to do what He has commanded us to do. But in times of necessity, He enables us to just keep walking. Just keep walking. Day after day. Day after day. But you understand, there are those who stumble through life, right? There are those who in life are defeated. They falter and they faint. And if we stumble and if we are defeated and if we falter and if we faint and if we quit, what that means is we're not waiting on the Lord. We have some preoccupation with ourselves when we should be occupied with Him. See, that's the problem. To those who are occupied with Him, to those who are hoping in Him, to those who are resting in Him, He will renew their strength. He will help them walk another step. He will help them walk another mile. He will help them go another day. But if we're preoccupied with ourselves, that's defeat. That's to falter and to fail and to faint. It's up to me, I quit. Right? I give up. I'm glad it's not up to me. I'm glad the Lord provides the strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. There are times we need to soar. There are times when we need to be able to run. But it's every day I need God to help me walk. And hasn't He already done that for us? Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse Chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, when we were weak, when we were weary, when we could not soar, when we could not run, when we could not walk, when we could do nothing, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we had no might, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now, why did He die? To make you a child of God. He died to save you, right? He died to make you His people, to redeem you, to purchase you. So that you as His people would wait on Him, would hope in Him. And on the cross, He purchased those wings that you will soar with. And He purchased those legs that you will run with. And He purchased those feet that you will walk with. It's all been purchased by Christ. All of it. The wings, the legs, the feet, all from the work of Christ. so. Do you not know? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who does not faint, the one who never gets weary, the one where there is no searching of his understanding, do you not know, have you not heard that he gives power to the faint? That he gives the increase of strength to those who have no might. Even the young people will faint and be weary. They shall fall. But it is those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall have their strength exchanged, their weakness exchanged for His strength. And they shall at times mount up with wings of eagles and soar. They shall run at times and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Absolute, total dependence on Him. Amen. Isn't that where we should be at during this COVID thing we're going through? That our hope is not in anything else but Him. Because it is those who hope in Him that have their strength renewed. Those who don't hope in Him don't. Say amen. There is a condition here, right? You hope in Him. You wait on Him. You hope in Him. And then your strength is renewed. Then you can mount up like wings of eagles. Then you can run. Then you can walk. It is a hope in Him. And I told you this morning that probably my last governmental hope has been extinguished. If we have bad congressmen, congresspeople, and we have bad judges in courts, and then we have bad Supreme Court, where do we go to? You see, God may be taking away every hope that we have. Everything that we could trust in, earthly speaking, so that we finally will have no other place to go but Him. Amen. If that's what He does, that would be good.